talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere.
Thank you, Jim. I'm so glad I'm a priest today and not then. I've never had too many people come and try and show me their infectious skin diseases. I'm very glad about it. So don't start it now, unless you really, really need to, though we do offer prayer ministry. As you know, we're going through our church values through this term. We've looked at quite a few so far, and today the theme is people matter to God. Now, I'm guessing if you're here, you probably know that. That's part of the reason you're here. But it's a core value that I just felt I had to speak into. It's a really simple message today, really, just that. You matter to God. We could just go home now, but I'm going to spin it out to, you know, pretend I've got a lot more to say. But you matter to God. I suppose that's the really good news. The slightly more frustrating news is everyone else matters to God as well, just as much. I mean, I don't know, did you ever have this sort of philosophical dilemma as a child that your universe fills your whole life? And you think, am I the only person in the world? And then realizing, oh, that person's life is as full to them as mine is to me. Have you ever had that thought? No, there's only two of us and you're looking really worried. So move on swiftly from that. But the idea that everyone matters, I mean, someone who I haven't really noticed, and yet they are the lead character of their script, of their life. It's amazing. Everyone matters, hopefully to ourselves, and know that we matter to God. And we're living through a crisis in mental health and in human identity. And some, actually at times many voices say, you can be anything you want to be if you dream or wish hard enough. And I think that's just nonsense, isn't it? I mean, I'm never going to be Superman. My name is Jean. I'm rarely mistaken for Jean-Claude Van Damme. I taught him all his skills, but I just haven't got the same physique, it's true. We can't be anything we want to be. And there's a sort of lie, as if this is going to encourage people. And then no wonder they feel awful, because they're, you know, rarely do we really encounter and live out our dreams. Maggie's here, so I'll get in a little Shakespeare reference, because she loves us. She's got a Shakespeare group, meets in her house. But Macbeth, I love that play because it's very short. But it's about, you know, he has so much potential and he never is able to fulfill it. But that's part of the human condition. We do have dreams that we will never fulfill. And we don't want to be robbed of joy for our whole lives because of it. But what can we be? I think it's still true, there is really good news, but it's not about our human effort or our own achievements. Beyond any self-definition or achievement, it's knowing that we're made and loved by God. It's not all about me, it's all about Him. And what gives me significance is being woven into the fabric of His story, which is history. People matter to God. And I have to say, I love our buildings. When I go on holiday, a few weeks ago, Sue and I went to Guernsey, and I dropped in on St. Apolline's Chapel. Now, not many people know about St. Apolline. I won't tell you all her life story. But there's a chapel there in Guernsey. And I love just going into it, because it's been there for 14 centuries. And it feels holy space. Any of you know what St. Apolline is the patron saint of? I will give you a gift, sir. Yes, round of applause. He gets his, come and get your chocolate. Now, come and tell us why you happen to know that trick.
Hi, I'm Richard. You may not know, but I am in fact a dentist. But many dental practices will be called Apollonia House, Apollonia Surgery, things like that.
Fantastic. You learn all sorts at church, don't you?
Thank you, Richard. Thank you.
I'd not spotted you there. You don't want to find out why she got martyred and how it happened, but it's to do with dentistry. It's not good. So I love that little St. Apolline's Chapel. And I've come to love this building. And as I find I'm here a lot, I pray. I find it a very easy place to pray. I hope you do as well. So we love our buildings. And also, I love the Church of England. I didn't grow up in the Church of England. I grew up in a free church. And then, do you know, there's an osmosis that happens over time. You think, Anglicans, they are so weird. And then over time, you realize you have become weird. But you love it. And I love the Church of England. I love it for all its quirkiness. I think of it as a bit like a member of our family. You know, I feel I can be really rude about members of my family, but I'm ever so protected because I love them. But beyond our buildings or our institutions, people matter to God. Jesus died for people, not institutions or buildings, no matter what our loyalties are. And last week, Mary spoke about creativity. It's a great talk about how we're all made in God's image, unique but with different gifts. And like God, being creative is an essential part of our humanity. It's not a bolt-on added extra. It's part of our humanity. But we are different, and that's a jolly good thing. But everyone matters to God. Now, some of you, how many of you have ever watched junior school football? Okay, some of us have done this. I had three boys, and this was inflicted on me many times. And what happens is the 22 players on the pitch all want to be on the ball all the time. And so it's a bit like bees buzzing around a jam sandwich. Wherever the ball is, there's just this cluster of children. Have you seen that? Whereas with great teams, when they play, when you watch them, you realize they are a team, not a collection of individuals. And as we grow up, we get to realize, and sometimes to believe, it is a better game if we are a team rather than playing as individuals. Don't you think that's the problem with England as a football team? They play for their clubs and they're really good and they play as teams there, but when they're playing as England, they don't play as a team. They don't know quite how to communicate so often. I know it's easy to say it from the armchair, but you know, that's my ever so not humble opinion about English football. In any healthy organisation, including the church, it's much more fun if we can learn to play together. And that means we choose not to try to be someone else. So if you're in football, if you're the goalie, you don't pretend you're the centre forward, a striker, or vice versa. So I love the way the ball's there, but actually everyone knows where they're meant to be on the pitch. You don't have to understand football too much to see this, bless you. They're in different places. They know where they're meant to be on a good day. I wonder if that's true for us as a church, or you in your workplace, or whether you're cramping each other's styles. Because it only really works if everyone is willing to pass the ball to their teammates. I used to play on the wing, which meant I could go a whole game and never get the ball. I'd be running up and down, I'm open. But if someone doesn't ever give you the ball, you lose heart a bit. And in church and in organizations, trusting one another, knowing where someone else is meant to be, playing to their strength, it's a lot more fun. And so everyone matters, and believing that really matters. Some of you, and some of you might groan, who's done Belbin? Okay, that's not speaking in tongues, it's just a word, Mr. Belbin. So this is a process tool to work out what sort of person you are in a team. So there's different skill sets that we all have, and we don't usually think about it, we just are. We're in a group, and then someone takes charge, or someone else is saying, not sure they should be the leader. And we're all doing our little mind things of where are we in a group. So there's lots of different functions. So one of the functions in this process tool, Belbin, is someone who's a plant, who's an ideas person, 20 visions before breakfast, really enthusiastic, always got lots of ideas. But actually, you might occasionally need an implementer. Because I can read a book about a new vision. I think, oh, that's great. That set me free. And then other people might say, yeah, are we going to do anything about it or just read the book? Because I can read the book and feel generally better about life. Implementers. And then there's someone who's maybe a completer finisher. I mean, how many of you get excited about an idea but then lose interest and need a completer finisher in your life? Okay, there's a few honest people here. How many of you are the completer finishers? You don't necessarily have the idea, but you get the job over the line. You do it, okay. So we need to work as a team. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to get too vulnerable here, I think. Well, last week was Trinity Sunday. So I think as Trinitarian, that is the defining theology we have as followers of Jesus, as Christians. There's only one God, but he's revealed in three persons. The Father, who has the loving plan. Jesus, who implements the loving plan. And God, the Holy Spirit, who brings all things to completion. They're not in competition, and it's only one God. But we think of him working in different modes of being, and intrinsic to himself, he's this perfect community of harmonious love and creativity. So God is the original, ineffable dream team. He's our supreme model of unity with diversity. So when we gather together, we're all listening to God, and we all contribute to worship. It's not about the choir or the band or the sermon. And in fact, even now I'm talking and some of you aren't really listening because you were thinking about something I said 2 minutes ago. So your sermon is different from someone else's sermon. What you're bringing to the words is different. And so if I pick on someone now and say, what are you thinking about? No, I'm not going to do that. Suddenly people are looking very anxious. But, I mean, it's not about the band. They're leading, or someone leading intercessions. You know, we go in and out. We hear something, and then our brain is doing its own thing, and we're worshiping, or we're praying. Someone comes up in your heart, and you know you have to pray for them right then. So you do. And that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing, because together we are the worshiping people of God. So Paul puts it like this. When you come together, each of you has a hymn, a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. So this is his vision of their church, if it's in a healthy state. Each of you. Now, if we say, okay, we're going to go around and everyone's got to, you know, lead us in a song, it would be, first of all, very long. And actually, you think, oh, do we, you know, it wouldn't work. But in principle, the idea that everyone could bring, oh, I'd love us to sing such and such, you know, or someone has a word of instruction. They've just read something in the Bible and think, oh, I've never understood that. I'd love to share that. Or maybe it's a revelation. you saw something in the clouds or in the trees, and you just want to share something God's given you. And no one else will have that thought. Or maybe a tongue. God gives you a spiritual gift, and tongues with interpretation is the same as prophecy. So you've got a prophetic word to share with the congregation. Now, the yardstick is everything must be done so that the church may be built up. So if you're just going on a trip, or if I'm doing it for self-aggrandizement, that's clearly a bad thing. And not that everything that comes into my head is sensible or useful. So we're not oversharing nonsense, but where we think, do you know, I feel this matters. I've had this where I've been, when I was a young Christian, I was in a service, and I suddenly thought, there's someone here, and I knew something about them. I didn't know who it would be, but I knew it was a word for someone there. Now, how many of you have had the experience, you've been in a service like this, and suddenly God gives you a nudge, and you think, oh, I think I'm meant to do something with this thought. How many of you know that feeling? Okay. So, Lord, for those who know that feeling, may they have confidence to use it. And for those who aren't yet used to it or haven't tuned in, may we all learn to hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Because Moses said, I would that all God's people were prophets. That's always been God's heart, that everyone would learn, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Every one of us can learn. And actually, that's going to be the focus of our service tonight at 7 o'clock. We'll have a time of worship, and then we'll be listening and then trying to grow in that. We can grow, just like a muscle. You grow your ability to hear God, and you get it partly right and partly wrong, because Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, we know in part and we prophesy in part. But frankly, if even 30% is from God, why wouldn't we want to hear that? And then we'll try and filter out the rest. I've heard that sometimes when someone's prophesying, they bring a word, and I thought, oh, that's so right. And then it feels like they keep going. I'm thinking, no, stop now. Because that's in your strength. But what you started with, that was from God. So let's hold on to the things that are from God. But I wonder if you feel you could bring something. It doesn't have to be spectacularly in the moment. It could be midweek. God nudges you. That happens to me. Someone tells me, oh, I'd love to share this. Please don't be shy. Everything must be done so that the church is built up. But also, everything must be done. So it's a negative in that it's a control. Don't do it if it's not going to build up. But it's also an encouragement, it seems to me. These things must be done, or the church will not be built up, because only you hear the things that God says to you. Now, Paul also uses the image of the body, the one body with many parts. And there's two equal and opposite dangers. Either saying we're so important, or believing we're so unimportant. Paul says to the Romans, by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ, we, though we are many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Now, I don't know which temptation you more naturally fall into, of having an overinflated opinion of significance, or more likely, a dismissal. Oh, no, that's not God. I'd never hear from God. But actually, both are wrong. Equal and opposite ways of saying we're special. I'm so important, or I'm so unimportant. Neither are right. Either way, we're saying we're the exception to the word of God, who says you all matter. You matter in relationship with everyone else who also matters to God. And so, in Christ, though we are many, we form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And God says, you matter, and your contribution is unique. And though not perfect, like mine, it still matters and is needed. Just think of that phrase, each member belongs to all the others. I wonder if someone asks you, which church do you belong to? We tend to think of it as, oh yeah, that's my church. What Paul says is, you belong to the church. Do you hear the difference? Each member belongs to the church. Each church member has an obligation to serve, to bless the other members of the body. I picked up the gospel reading for today from Mark 1 about that leper. I just love it. It talks about a man who no one wanted to be close to because he was a leper. A man with apparently nothing to offer. A man who literally did not belong. And he'd lived with that condition long enough to believe that other people's verdict on his life was true. And as I was thinking about this service, I thought, I think there are people in this church who think that. Maybe there's words that have been spoken over you or the way you've been treated, maybe deliberately, probably accidentally. You just don't feel you belong or that you matter. And so that phrase that I said at the very beginning, I'd love you to believe it and know it to be true. You matter to God. And this leper, who probably feels I don't belong and that I've got nothing to offer, he's not sure if Jesus is going to be different, but he hopes he will be. If you are willing, you can make me clean. And it says Jesus was indignant, which is a very grown-up word. It means he was very cross. Jesus was angry because the man has believed a lie that he doesn't matter to God. And so Jesus immediately reassures him, of course I'm willing. Of course you matter. And of all the things Jesus could have done, he reaches out physically and touches that man. It's such a beautiful moment. And of course, Jesus doesn't catch leprosy. The man catches health from him. That's the direction of the transmission. It's a beautiful moment. So I just really want to finish with four questions, which I hope will be helpful to thinking through what do we really believe? So do we know that we matter to God? What are the things that make you doubt it? Third, as we belong to the church, what do you bring to the party? Have you got one of those special trifles? Have you? Would you bring it? Sue made a load of trifles the other week. I mean, I make things and then I think, oh, will I give everyone food poisoning? I don't have a high level of trust in what I'm bringing to the party. Wonder if that's you. And so will you have confidence but also obedience to God? Will you bring it? And then four, who doesn't matter to us? If we're truthful, we'd be like the priest or the Levite in the Good Samaritan story. We pass by on the other side. And the vicar knocks on the door and you hide behind the settee. You know, who are the people you try to avoid? Don't say it aloud, for goodness sake. Might be the person you're sitting next to. So let's listen to God now. Let's think what God might be saying. And actually, I'm going to give a space in a moment. If you feel God is giving you a word to share, then just you come up in a minute. But first, let's just be quiet and listen.